Hey Sharks fans, thanks for checking out another cast from TealTownUSA.com. In this final episode of our Pacific Division Preview Series, we talk with Chris Lizza, co-host of the Vegas Hockey Podcast and writer for the New York Islanders on the fan-sided site, Eyes on Isle, and cover the Golden Knights.
We have Chris from Vegas Hockey Podcast. You can find it, on Blog Talk and Russ Cohen, Sportsology SoundCloud page. Chris, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Eric. How are things out in San Jose? I'm sure everyone's very excited about the upcoming season.
Oh, for sure. I mean, going into the preseason, I think we were all really excited to see kind of where our prospects were shaping up, and just looking at how the Pacific Division kind of really loaded up on talent, took a really big run on talent. And then we got the Erik Karlsson news, which I think has just whetted the appetite of everybody. So, I mean, like I said before, this division has really amped up into a new stratosphere of arms race, so to speak. And really, I mean, that began with the Max Pacioretty trade to Vegas from Montreal. And Chris, from your perspective, how did that affect the fortunes going forward for Vegas? And what do you think about that extension that kicked in?
Well, I'm a big fan of Max Pacioretty. He's a kind of a local guy out here in the East Coast. He's a Connecticut guy. He didn't have the greatest of years, to put it mildly, last year. He had the injury bug. He went through probably one of the worst slumps of his career in terms of scoring goals, and obviously it was a tough year for the Canadiens in general. Having said all that, I think he will help the Knights out tremendously. You got to remember, they lost James Neal, they lost David Perron. They did have that late season or trade deadline acquisition of Thomas Tatar. In a short sample size, he had a hard time fitting in. But again, that was a short sample size. Obviously, he went in this deal as well. But also, based on the relationship on and off the ice with free agent signing Paul Stastny, that second line now of Alex Tuck, who really came on last year for the Golden Knights in terms of the pick from the Minnesota Wild in the expansion draft, along with Stastny centering that line with Tuck and Pacioretty. And Pacioretty, as long as he stays healthy this season, I expect 30 goals from him. I expect leadership in the locker room, on the bench. I think it's a really, really good fit. In terms of the contract itself, the extension, it's a bit rich in terms of the annual number, but I'm good with the term. I think it's a good road to go on for these teams moving forward, that if you overpay someone, but instead of giving them a five-year deal, you give them a four-year deal, I think that's a good way to go. So that's all a plus. The only thing I would say from afar, if I were to criticize George McPhee, was the asset allocation to get Max Pacioretty. Remember, they gave up last year's first, a second this year, and a third in 2020 for Thomas Tatar at the deadline last year,
which we all thought was very, very high price to pay for a player of that ilk. I don't know where you come down on that, but, you know, as far as us looking afar as well, we all kind of thought maybe that's a little bit of an overpayment. What did you think on that?
I thought it was a little rich too. However, considering that what it signaled to me was they were worried both about either Perron or Neal, and as it turned out, both. that was going to give them insurance. He was signed for the next 3 years at a reasonable cap number. Look, he's not a star, but he's a guy who's going to give you 20 to 25 goals, give you 45 points, and he's 27 years of age, so it all kind of fit in, and they were fans of him. But then, obviously, they're much bigger fans of Max Pacioretty, which I can understand. But again, getting back to it, to give up those three picks to get Tatar, and then flip Tatar, and then give up another future second-round pick, and Nick Suzuki, who was, I believe, if memory serves correct, either the 12th or the 13th pick of the 2017 draft, one of their first three rounders, who is really going to be, I'm very high on Nick Suzuki. I mean, to put it in perspective, of course, his name is escaping me at this moment. Norris, I believe, the top prospect the Sharks gave up in the Karlsson deal.
Right.
And now, again, I don't want to use this as gospel, but just as a barometer. Norris on the Hockey News' top 100 prospect list in the spring was ranked between 55 and 60. Suzuki, right. And that, you know, that was a deal to get Erik Karlsson. Suzuki was ranked 27th. So we're talking about a much higher level prospect. So when you go back and look and said they gave up a 1, 2 2s, a 3, Suzuki to get Pacioretty, that is a, from an asset allocation standpoint and over a short period of time, that is not great. But I think at the end of the day, they had a lot of draft picks. They were dealing from an area of strength, which is a good thing. I think he's going to be a real good fit. Obviously, when you get close to 30, people, you know, this is a young man's sport. You always have to worry about, you know, when does the downside start to hit? But I think Pacioretty has at least 3 years ahead of him of 25 to 30 goals and being a 50 to 60 point player.
Yeah, I mean, Max Pacioretty historically is always, you know, hovered around that 25 to 30 goal mark, that exactly right, the 50 to 60 point range. I feel that this, to me, this was very, very much vintage George McPhee. You know, I felt as if this was almost of a similar ilk of the Martin Erat Forsberg trade that he made while he was GM of the Washington Capitals. I mean, he's definitely shown a lot of what's the best word to describe? I guess a lot of creativity when it came to the expansion draft. And I thought he made a lot of really, really prudent and really, really, I mean, good moves.
Yes.
You know, he was able to extract a lot of capital from teams that, you know, were kind of bent over the side of a barrel, so to speak. You know, they didn't really have any kind of, you know, any kind of other avenues. So, you know, I think that there has been some good things about George McPhee, but I also think that the success was very much maybe not planned for. So it accelerated his plans and accelerated his, I guess, future overall, I guess, the capital assets and the capital management. Like you said, it kind of sped up that process a little bit. What do you think about that? And do you feel that this is on that similar ilk of Martin Erat and Forsberg?
Well, from a George McPhee standpoint, I'm sure he doesn't, from a standpoint of how the results from that trade. But I agree with what you're saying. And when you look at it, no pun intended, a lot of the things they touched literally did turn to gold. Did they know they were getting a really good young player in Alex Tuch? Yes. Did they think he was going to be a 20-25 goal scorer, 40-50 point guy year one and ready to roll after that? That I don't know about. Obviously, William Karlsson, who is someone I've been watching, preparing for in terms of the expansion draft from afar as a potential target for the Knights. I thought he is a guy who does everything really well and plays a 200-foot game. And if he can score you 15 goals, you'd be like, I'll take those kind of players on my team all day long. He winds up becoming a star. We'll see what he can do. Jonathan Marchessault, another guy who came out of nowhere for Florida. Questions were, can he do it again? Was it a one-hit wonder? Well, he proved he's a minimum, a top six forward. So, and then Shea Theodore, too, last year, in terms of, while he's a young player and young defensemen tend to go up and down, there was a lot more up than down, and now they have him locked up. So they had a lot of things that excited about that really all hit last year and put them at a very – I mean, it's hard to believe that this is a second-year franchise, because when I look at the teams in the Pacific outside of the Sharks and the Knights and looking at all the other teams, while there's a number of things for each team to be excited about, I think there's a lot of question mark for almost all the other teams. But ironically, it's the Goldies. Their rosters are stable rosters in terms of not just the Pacific Division, but throughout the NHL. And that shows you just how much he hit a home run in the expansion draft.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of us saw last year that they had a depth throughout their lineup. It wasn't just a, you know, it wasn't just a very top heavy 1-2 line, maybe even 3 line team. This was a team that was 4 lines deep. Each line brought its own unique identity to the Knights, and each line was a scoring threat. I mean, the fourth line really gave fits to the Sharks in the second round series. You know, you do have James Neal leaving, and you do have David Perron leaving, but you got Paul Stastny coming in. You also had Max Pacioretty coming in via trade. So, you know, for me, looking at it, I'd rather much have Stastny and Pacioretty, who are much more known quantities than a David Perron and a James Neal. As much as James Neal is a goal scorer, I just feel maybe a little bit more comfortable with Max Pacioretty. Kind of looking overall on the Pacific Division, how do you see it shaping out? Do you see any of the other teams that are kind of below the first tier echelon really making a run for run at maybe either the Sharks or the Knights, or run for the third playoff spot, or even the one of the two wild card spots? So how do you see the division shaking out?
Oh, that's a tough one. We had Teal Town's own Chris Storrs on the Vegas Hockey Podcast. The first we did a division series that he previewed the Pacific for us, and that was like one of my questions was, I feel very confident that in some order the Knights and Sharks are going to be 1-2 in that. And but everyone else, I have a lot of questions, a lot of skepticism. Yeah, the Flames made a lot of big moves this offseason, but they have a new coaching staff. Obviously, I don't think it's out of bounds to say they were probably the biggest disappointment in the NHL last year. Mike Smith is a year older. I think that puts him at 36 years of age, and he's been known to be a little bit injury prone. So there's a number of questions I have about the Flames. The Oilers, it's all about depth. It seems like they're really relying on some of their young guys to step up to be a Connor McDavid, Bragg, that whole team to make it to the playoffs. Are you going to get Cam Talbot from last year? Or Cam Talbot from 2 years ago when arguably he was one of the best goalies in the league? You know, obviously Vancouver is rebuilding without them saying it. Arizona, they're going to start out of the blocks with some injury concerns. So that's a question as well. Gun to my head, I have no clue who's going to get that third automatic spot in the Pacific. And I would not be surprised if both wild cards came out of the Central. Now, the only rub about that is obviously you play the teams in your division more. So if you're a Cal, you're going to be playing, you know, Vancouver. And whereas if you're a Colorado, you're going to be playing the Minnesotas and even the second teams in the Central, who I think are have a leg up on those other teams. So I know Calgary's a trendy pick. I know the Hockey News predicted them to win the division. They definitely have I don't know. I have to see it. I mean, last year was I was very puzzled perspective, considering they had their first and second round picks, which turned out very nicely for Travis Hamonic. I was very puzzled what the heck was going on out there. So I'm going to be watching keenly on Calgary this year. I have to see it first.
Yeah.
To believe it.
Yeah, I mean, both of the Alberta teams have really struggled, and you know, to really create an identity, you know, past their star forwards and past their top few defensemen. And you know, I think it's a make or break year for Edmonton. I especially think that Todd McLellan and Peter Chiarelli are on the hot seats. Of course, the Calgary Flames just cleaned house. They brought in their new head coach. I think that's Bill Peters from Carolina. Yep. And I know that there's a lot of people that have soured on him a little bit. I know the analytics crowd does not like Bill Peters, but you know, I think on an overall perspective, I think he's a decent coach. But really, like you said, it's going to come down to goaltending, and it's going to come down to their depth of scoring again. So what is it, I guess, about then the Sharks that gives you the most pause for Vegas's domination in the Pacific?
Well, I look at San Jose, and obviously I'm a big fan of Martin Jones since he was a backup at L.A., and he was one talented backup who was really number one in there 2 years ago when they went to the Cup. Stole two games. The two games the Sharks won, and he was tremendous. And the other games that they lost, he did everything he possibly could. I mean, to me, they have an elite young goaltender, obviously big strength, with multiple terms of shut terms of play and puck movers. To me, when in terms of not just from the division, will they finish one? Will they finish two in the division? Which, to be honest with you, I mean, I don't think it's really that big of a deal. I mean, I know if you wind up facing each other in the first, it would be the second round of the playoffs, and it goes game seven. You'd like to have that game in your building. But to me, the Sharks come down to two. Can that power play levels of being lethal like it was a couple of years ago when it got to the Cup final? And two is secondary scoring. This has been a bugaboo for the team. I mean, last year, guys did step up like Timo Meier and ironically the Dupin, and he found himself times last year. But those, so I wouldn't be surprised if between now and the trade deadline, Doug Wilson makes a move to assist on that secondary scoring.
Some really interesting perspective. I think we also have similar questions as to the health of Joe Thornton, the power play, and where Erik Karlsson will definitely fit into that puzzle. And we're also very, very interested to see how the Sharks play against Vegas this year, because it was exposed last year, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs, by Washington, that if you play a little bit more east-west and a little bit more of the cycle kind of down-low style, that really did seem to give Vegas a lot of trouble, because they didn't really know how to execute out of a offensively pressuring situation with a 2-3 man forecheck. That seemed to kind of give them a little bit of issues, and then clogging up the neutral zone, of course, taking away those first pass opportunities, that the breakout kind of plays that Vegas really perfected during the season. I mean, once you got rid of those, it felt like their offensive ability kind of dried up there. So I'm wondering to see exactly how the league will react to Vegas in this upcoming season. By no means do I think that Vegas is going away, and I think that they're one of the better built teams for the Western Conference. And they're also really highlighting that new school NHL philosophy of speed, of instant breakout passes, and going through the neutral zone quite quickly via the north-south directions versus more of an easternly, westernly kind of passing style that, you know, Detroit made so famous. You know, I think I see in the cream of the crop in the Western Conference as Winnipeg, Nashville, Vegas, and us. And I would not be surprised if that would be the final four going into the playoffs. Switching gears over to your Eastern Conference team, the New York Islanders, where do you see this team kind of going, and what's the direction of the team right now? I know they have some strong young pieces like Matthew Barzal, Anders Lee, who's not really as young, but, you know, fairly young. And the future seems bright, but I know that there's still a lot of question marks in the near to short term future. Well, what do you kind of handicap the Islanders at right now?
I think this is good for them. I think they're going to have been surprising. Said all that, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. But, you know, Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz are going to want to see things with their own eyes. Interesting to note, both Anders Lee and Jordan Eberle, as well as Brock Nelson, are on the last year of their deals and become unrestricted free agents. Lee and Eberle really want to stay. I don't know if Lou is going to buy into Jordan Eberle, and a perfect kind of guy, the San Jose Sharks, in terms of adding a piece at the deadline. you know, that secondary forward, if you will. It's just me speculating. Matthew Barzal was the best this year, with all due respect. And he's just going to get better the first half of the year. He doesn't put too off. I think this could be a real breakout year for two young Islanders. Ryan Pulock, the former first-round pick from a couple of years ago, who was there, one of their best player after the All-Star break. He is picked it up where he's left off in the preseason. He's been dominant. He's got a cannon of a slap shot. They have the pieces. They have bore you to death with all their prospects, but they do have some really good prospects. Excited for last year's draft, and it counts. The draft fell. So I think the future is bright. I think Lou and have to figure out, okay, who is going to fit on what we want to do in terms of building a contender, the style we want to play, and both on and also fitting off the ice. So I think they're going to be a team to watch.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and end up here. And I just wanted to say thank you very much for hopping on to the podcast. Again, if you want to find Chris's work, he's going to be, you're going to find his work on the fan-sided site Eyes on Isles. You can also find him on Vegas Hockey Podcast. It's on Blog Talk and Russ Cohen, the Sportsology SoundCloud page. And we're very honored that you decided to come onto the podcast, and hope to see you again and check in the future for the Golden Knights. It's going to be a very interesting and fun upcoming season.